What I'd like to do today is present some work that Jimmy did for his dissertation before he left us by graduating with his PhD degree last summer. I'll just blow through this one, just a brief format of how it's going to be set up, introduction, a little bit on materials and methods, results, and then conclusions. And I don't really need to go through this, obviously, with the audience in terms of the importance of cotton. We all recognize that, and gives us some hope for what we want to try to do, like improve the yield of Wayne's material. Page down. Okay. One of the ways we might do this is to make use of cotton hybrids. But unfortunately, there's the use of hybrids in the United States has really seen very limited application. Chembred was involved for a short period of time in this endeavor. But while we have not made use of it here in the United States to any great extent, other countries around the world, some of our major competitors, have, and they are seeing some significant increases. Specifically, China and India have both reported yield increases of up to 20% through the use of hybrids. And some of the studies, historical studies in the United States, have documented that we can achieve anywhere from 15% heterosis in the F1 generation. And though we do see some heterotic decline in the F2, we're even seeing some increase in that generation as well. Also, as a result of some of these previous studies, they've looked at various agronomic properties, yield, and also fiber quality traits. Now, we will eventually be focusing here on yield. Generally, the results have been that for agronomic properties and for fiber quality, there's very little heterosis that occurs in the utilization of hybrids. One of the difficulties you have in developing hybrids is that there is a lot of genotype by genotype interaction, so we need to look for GCA and FCA combinations that may be useful. So there's some work for Wayne at Texas. Some of the bottlenecks to commercial use in the United States, male sterility, being able to ensure that it's stable, being able to adequately restore it, problems with pollen transfer from male fertiles to male steriles, or if you go by hand methods, as are used primarily in China and India, the high cost of hand emasculation makes it prohibitive here in the United States. So, we are fortunate in Baton Rouge to be located next to the USDA bee lab. So, in discussions with Dr. Bob Danka there, who actually should have probably been listed on this presentation as well, we were interested in looking at using honeybees for cotton pollination. Now, unfortunately, honeybees are not overly attracted to cotton. The pollen is quite heavy and it's quite prickly, so that normal honeybees are not as efficient as bumblebees. However, they have been shown to cross-pollinate cotton at up to 75% and increase yields up to 15% when you artificially place colonies in the field. This was some work actually done in Arizona. So what we were interested in looking at was using Roundup as a selectable trait. And this is actually a result of a conversation that Jimmy had with J.B. Weaver when he was on one of the breeder tours. And so JB's actually had came up with the idea, and we decided to try to put it into practice. So we were going to be using here the Roundup, and it's actually not Roundup Ready is a selectable marker for the development and of F2 hybrid cottonseed using honeybees to assist in pollination. Okay, the study actually spans a period of 3 years, starting in 2005. This work in 2005 was really the initiation of the crossing done in Baton Rouge. As for what lines to use as parents, we decided to go into the regional breeders test, and we extracted 18 lines from there, and you can see them listed on the lower right, from four different breeding programs in Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Texas. And this was simply to obtain F1 seeds, because we were really interested in F2 heterosis and looking at yields. And you can see in the bottom left a picture of something that'll be more obvious in the cartoon on the next page. You see that there are some open fields and there's also some mesh cages. That's because we set this up in this fashion. We were using Phytogen 410R as the male donor. So this is going to be the source of our selectable trait, and we'd like to thank Phytogen for giving us access to that material for research purposes. And then we had the 18 entries from the RBTN planted in alternate rows. And you can see here these two purple boxes, and that's where we had hives that were placed out in the field. And then you also see these larger boxes, C1, C2, and C3, because we were interested to see whether having bees artificially caged would have any effect on our success in achieving hybrids. In 2006, we took the F1s and the parents out into the field in St. Joe. And here we were really interested in obtaining F2 seeds. We had actually, at this time, reduced the number of populations from 8 to 16, 6 different populations. And these were planted and sprayed over with Roundup herbicide at 850 grams AI per hectare. And this was to allow us to get an estimate of the amount of cross-pollination that actually occurred. And the parents were also sprayed over with Roundup at that point in time to determine if there was any level of adventitious presence in that material. As any of you, all of you are aware, producing F1 seeds is they're a relatively scarce resource. And so we'd use these to produce F2s, and so we needed to produce more F1s. And so we used the cotton winter nursery over the 2006-2007 season to obtain more F1 seeds so that we could plant all three generations in 2007. 2007, three-rep RCBD, arranged by generation, planted both at the St. Joe Research Station and in Alexandria on two different soil types, though we are not interested in soil types here. We planted both parents, the F1 generation and F2 generation, planted together for comparison. And again, we sprayed these with Roundup as well. And we, in the F2, we did enumerate the number of alive and dead plants to confirm that we were seeing the segregations we were expected. We also measured plant yield, plant height. We also, because we were dealing with relatively small rows, we measured row length and any gaps for yield adjustments as necessary. And we harvested a relatively small sample of 25 open bowls and then eventually ran them fiber through HVI. Continuing on materials and methods and statistics, we use Proc Mixed. And if you're interested in Proc Mixed, the rest of that's, I'm a GLM person guy. Anyway, so now let's get to some of the results and discussion. We wanted to see what were the effect the bees were having on outcrossing and how successful we were in producing hybrids. And also if the cages had any effect. Across the 18 different genotypes surveyed, pollination within a cage ranged from 21 to 65% outcrossing or hybrid production. And actually in the open field, we had anywhere from 33 to 55%. So there was no statistical difference whether we had and the number of hybrids produced, whether we were in a cage or whether we were using the open field. And you can see for 6 of the lines here that, and we will eventually be narrowing the number of lines we're talking about down. For 6 of the lines, you can see that the amount of hybrids produced using Arkansas 24-1204 is 54%. One of the lines from Texas, 99WJ-9, we had an outcrossing rate of 33%. And this is actually pretty much along historical lines because Baton Rouge, being next to the bee facility, we do see a lot of outcrossing there. In terms of adventitious gene presence that we were looked at in 2006, you can see that in 2 of the lines there was no adventitious presence of Roundup, and the highest percentage we saw was 2% in 99WJ-9. Again, we just wanted to make sure that we were expecting this to segregate as a single dominant gene. And this is just a simple chi-square test looking at the segregation ratios and trying to make sure that what we saw, we were getting what we expected to see, and everything passed. Okay, these tables have a lot of numbers on them. I'm really only going to talk about the bottom ones because there's not a tremendous amount of difference depending on which population you're looking at. So if you concentrate down here on the bottom, total mean generation, and for F1s, F2s, and parents. So here we're just looking at some agronomic traits such as plant height and plant density, seeing whether we're having any effect on modifying that. And you can see, oops, I jumped a few slides, that there really wasn't a tremendous effect on either plant height or on plant density, comparing the hybrids either in the F1 or F2 versus the parents. looking at some fiber quality traits. Some historical evidence said that we shouldn't expect a lot of heterosis for fiber quality traits, and indeed that's what we saw. If you look at the F1 and F2 means versus the parents across these three different populations that we're considering, which is LA11023 by phytogen-410R, the Arkansas line, and again the line from Texas, OOU882, we saw no heterosis evidence for either length, for strength, short fiber index, micronair in either location. A little bit of difference in elongation values, but nothing that's very large, nor in uniformity index. So we didn't see any heterosis in this material for fiber quality, which is pretty much in line with what we would have expected based on, as I said, on history. We also looked at some of the yield parameters, such as boll weight, lint percent, seed weight, and lint index. And then again, here we didn't see any real heterosis for any of these traits as well. You can see that there might be a slight trend for the boll weight to be higher in the hybrids. Again, looking down at these bottom three rows, if I can do this without, they had slightly heavier bolls, but the lint percentages were the same. There's a slight tendency to have greater seed weight, but there's no difference in lint index. So here's where we get to what we were trying to improve Wayne's material with, or anybody else's, by using hybrids, looking at lint yield. And again, let's concentrate first on the bottom, looking at the F1 heterosis and F2 heterosis versus the parents. And you can see here that we did see some heterosis. Actually, the F1 across the three populations averaged 27.1% greater yield than the parent mean. And even in the F2, we expected a decline in the amount of heterosis seen, but we still had an 18.1% increase in yield. Now, if you look at individual populations, you can see that for the top two populations, 111023 and the Arkansas RM24-12-04, we saw significant heterosis in the F1 and F2, either whether looking at the mid-parent or the high-parent. In fact, we saw values of 37, even compared to the high-parent, of a high of 33.1% increase over the high-parent in the case of 111023 times phytogen-410R. However, if you go down to OOU82 by phytogen-410R, you can see that while we did see some increase in yield, in comparison to the high parent, that yield increase was not significant. However, compared to the mid parent, those increases were. So, in summary, here we were using the herbicide resistant varieties as a male donor and Roundup Ready gene as a selection trait to try to produce hybrids economically, and I think we were successful in doing that. In this case, phytogen-410R and cross combinations of conventional varieties as female receptors, and using the honeybees here as a pollinating insect. So hopefully colony decline will not extend to the mid-south. But you can also see, based on that last slide on the interaction, that extensive variety testing will be required to determine the best combinations of parents. There obviously is something going on here. One of the things we're planning to start this year is to try to extend this to hirsutum bibarbadense hybrids to see whether we can not only see the yield increase, but maybe we can take advantage of some of the barbadense fiber characteristics and see if we can improve that in the hybrids as well. So with that, I'll stop and answer any questions you might have. Yes. Would we have trouble marking these because the male parents are transgenic? Well, as long as we are using a conventional variety, I think as a female receptor, you know, we know the Roundup, where the origin of that Roundup gene came from. So, I guess. I don't know whether I'm answering your question correctly. I would assume they would. I don't think Yeah, I've not looked into that. Yes, Don. Yeah, that was at a commercial stand rate. The plot lengths were a little bit short, so there may have been some end effects. I believe in Alexandria, we're only dealing with about 12 or 13 meter long rows, and in St. Joe, we were only 10 meter rows, and that was irrigated in that situation as well. So there may have been some end effects influencing the yields as well. Yeah, it would have been relatively the same. So. That's it. I thank you for your attention.